Why We Need a Second Referendum, by Porcinus. The 2016 referendum was a great success in terms of turnout and enthusiasm. The result, leave the EU, has yet to be achieved. It is resisted at every step by Theresa May's government, which Parliament holds in contempt, a unique title by which her government will always be remembered. There are many factors at play in the government's failure to carry out the clear instruction to leave given by the electorate. One of these factors is the role of the BBC in the Brexit debate. Every hour of every day since the referendum, the BBC has broadcast what can only be described as propaganda, trying to overturn the clear instruction of the UK people to leave the EU. If the BBC were a private organisation like Sky or ITV, then clearly, it could confess to trying to change the opinion of the people and would be under no obligation, apart from veracity, to act in an unbiased way. The BBC is not in the situation of being a private broadcaster. It must, by law, follow its charter. The BBC has failed and is failing to obey the requirements of its charter. Therefore, the time has come to have a second referendum, this time on the future of the BBC. The BBC. The British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC, is a British public service broadcaster. Its headquarters are at Broadcasting House in Westminster, London, and it is the world's oldest national broadcasting organisation and the largest broadcaster in the world by number of employees. In 2014 it employed over 20,950 staff in total, 16,672 of whom are in public sector broadcasting. The total number of staff is 35,402 when part-time, flexible, and fixed contract staff are included. The BBC has the second largest budget of any UK-based broadcaster, with an operating expenditure of £4.722 billion in 2013-14 compared with £6.471 billion for British Sky Broadcasting in 2013-14 and £1.843 billion for ITV in the calendar year 2013. Link. The BBC, Wiki. The BBC Charter. Extract. The independence of the BBC. 1. The BBC must be independent in all matters concerning the fulfilment of its mission and the promotion of the public purposes, particularly as regards editorial and creative decisions, the times and manner in which its output and services are supplied, and in the management of its affairs. 2. Paragraph 1. Is subject to any provision made by or under this charter or the framework agreement or otherwise by law. The BBC's object. The BBC's object is the fulfilment of its mission and the promotion of the public purposes. The BBC's mission. The mission of the BBC is to act in the public interest, serving all audiences through the provision of impartial, high quality and distinctive output and services which inform, educate and entertain. The public purposes. The public purposes of the BBC are as follows. 1. To provide impartial news and information to help people understand and engage with the world around them. The BBC should provide duly accurate and impartial news, current affairs and factual programming to build people's understanding of all parts of the United Kingdom and of the wider world. For the full text of the BBC's charter, please refer to Link. Copy of Royal Charter for the Continuance of the British Broadcasting Corporation. The Falklands War. The first public indication that the BBC was ignoring its charter began in 1982 during the Falklands War. Prior to this, the BBC had used its broadcasts to influence public opinion, but during the Falklands, the BBC exposed its mendacity for the world to see. Enter Brigadier Julian Thompson, commander of 3 Commander Brigade. His job was to take on the Argentines around Goose Green and Darwin. The area was protected by Task Force Mercedes under Lieutenant Colonel Italo Angel Piaggi, made up of the 12th Infantry Regiment, IR-12, and 3rd Company, defended by 20mm METALs, two radar-guided Oerlikon 35mm anti-aircraft guns, and a battery of three Otto Miller Mod 56 105mm pack howitzers, Thompson's job would not be easy. To make it even more challenging, his men could not be flown in. Most of their helicopters had been aboard the Atlantic conveyor, which was destroyed by Argentine missiles on May 25. The plan, therefore, was to land troops at San Carlos Bay and have them walk for 2 days until they reached Goose Green. On May 26, the 2nd Battalion of the Parachute Regiment, 2 Para, under Lieutenant Colonel Herbert Jones started to do just that. The Argentines were in for a surprise. Or so Jones thought until he turned on his radio. He had tuned into the BBC World Service, which was happily telling the world that the 2nd Para was poised to launch a surprise attack on Goose Green. So much for surprises. Now what? The 2 Para knew they were greatly outnumbered. Their only advantage lay in surprise, but that clearly went the way of the dinosaurs. After a healthy round of cussing, Jones vowed to sue the BBC for treason. Ditto with the War Cabinet. Oh, and the entire Thatcher government. Biaggi was listening to the same broadcast and shook his head in disbelief. Did the British really think he was that stupid? Ha. They were obviously going to attack somewhere else and were using the announcement as a diversion. So he told his men to relax. They were still doing just that when 2 Para attacked. Jones had gambled that Biaggi would think as he did, and it paid off. Biaggi surrendered on May 29, which, by an interesting coincidence, happens to be Argentine National Army Day. Thus ended the Battle of Goose Green, but it came at a hefty price. Jones, posthumously awarded the VC, and 17 other Britons died at the cost of 45 to 55 Argentines. Link. VC. Killed leading the assault on Argentines at Goose Green. Lieutenant Colonel H. Jones led from the front. Later on in the same war, the BBC broadcast details of the Vulcans bombing raid, before the bombers had returned to base. On a personal note, I was at sea in a submarine during the Falklands War, and I remember listening to the BBC radio broadcasts. Submarines can receive transmissions, but would not transmit on patrol. We never questioned the honesty or accuracy of the BBC, until on our return from patrol, we read about their mischievous, malicious and misguided reports, which put extra pressure on high command and certainly helped the Argentinian forces. With friends like the BBC, who needs enemies? Link. The Rescued Film Project. Uncovering amazing World War II photographs by unknown soldier. Watch. UK General Election 2015. Now let us briefly consider the Cameron General Election of June 2015. BBC political editor Nick Robinson's rip-roaring memoir of the general election captures perfectly the shock among lefty colleagues when they realized the Tories were heading for victory. When the bombshell exit poll predicting a Cameron majority was shared with the presenters moments before going on air, swingometer King Jeremy Vine spluttered, "So Scotland will go independent and the BBC will be shut down." They were rooting for Ed Miliband all along. Nick Robinson's election notebook, the inside story of the bare-knuckle fight over Britain's future. Brexit referendum. Next, consider the night of the Brexit vote, the first UK referendum of the 21st century. YouTube allows the interested viewer to watch again the pre-referendum hype by the BBC, comments by journalists, experts, pollsters, the man in the street. All selected by the BBC and all predicting a landslide vote for Remain. The shock and horror shown in the BBC studio, when old Remainer Dimbleby was forced to announce that the public have voted for the United Kingdom to leave the European Union, was a moment for leavers to savor for the rest of their lives. Further reading about the BBC bias against Brexit and complaints made by listeners and viewers is on the website. Link. BBC complaints. EU Remain and the BBC have not given up, have they? Every hour of every day, the BBC is violating its charter by pronouncing that Brexit will cause lorry jams at Dover, a run on the pound, thousands of jobs at risk, patients dying from lack of medicine, no flights in or out of the UK, all without a shred of evidence and in apparent ignorance of the steps taken by the EU to mitigate Brexit. These provisions are listed on the UK government's own website, but the BBC chooses to ignore them. Examples: UK to remain in Common Transit Convention after Brexit. Continued membership of the convention will ensure simplified cross-border trade for UK businesses exporting their goods. Published the 17th of December 2018. From Treasury. Link: UK to remain in Common Transit Convention after Brexit. European Commission, Memo the 19th of December 2018. Link: Questions and Answers. The consequences of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union without a ratified withdrawal agreement, no deal Brexit. Internet. Fact checks. The reputation of the BBC for honesty and accuracy has been lost forever, not because of its doubtful probity but because it seems to be unaware of the internet. This ignorance means that the BBC continues to publish inaccurate and dishonest information, not realizing that ubiquitous access to the internet means that people can fact-check instantly. Fact-check example: the recent Covington affair in the USA was reported by CNN, BBC and newspapers such as the UK's Guardian, as privileged private schoolboys harassing a Native American veteran of Vietnam. The internet revealed within hours that the truth was quite the opposite. The Native American was too young to have served in the US Marines at the time of Vietnam, and secondly, the video showed that it was the schoolboys who were being harassed. The BBC is now at risk of being sued in the US courts for punitive damages by the heavyweight lawyers of the Covington families. The BBC is a global player broadcasting to over 60 nations. If it has broadcast this fake news on its international channels and not just its UK service, the punitive damages could be multiplied by 60 in the US court. Like so many traditional news outlets, the BBC has failed to adhere to its mission. It began its deviation from the truth during the Falklands War in 1982 and since then has meandered down a switchback trail, descending into the land of fiction, occasionally pausing in a lay-by of pusillanimous righteousness. License fee. The BBC is funded by the license fee of £150.50 PA to be paid under threat of imprisonment by every household in the land, unless the occupier can prove television broadcasts are not watched in real time or on catch-up. Non-payment of the license fee is subject to criminal law and is recovered by a third-party company called Capita. Heard that name before? A company beloved by ministers and civil servants alike. Capita resort to every threat in the book, terrorizing pensioners and the infirm with pay up or you will go to jail. Homeowners who fail to pay can be fined and given criminal records. Among the vulnerable targeted in 2017 were a war veteran with dementia and a desperate young mother in a women's refuge. The revelations come from an investigation by a Daily Mail undercover reporter interviewed for an enforcement job by Capita. The outsourcing firm is paid £58 million a year to collect license fees for the BBC, bringing in £3.74 billion a year. The reporter was told by bosses, "We will drive you as hard as we can to get as much as we can out of you because we're greedy." He was encouraged to spy on homes and take money on the doorstep. Cash, debit, credit card, we'll take anything, one TV licensing manager said. I tell people I'll take shirt buttons. Link. BBC's TV license bullies are exposed. How ruthless bosses order staff to catch 28 people a week for bonuses of £15,000 a year. Since 1991, collection and enforcement of the license fee has been the responsibility of the BBC in its role as TV licensing authority. Investigator and prosecutor. Unlike the police service in England and Wales, which investigates and passes its findings to the CPS for possible prosecution, the BBC does both. It investigates and prosecutes and is a major prosecuting authority in England and Wales and an investigating authority in the UK as a whole. The BBC carries out surveillance, mostly using subcontractors, on properties, under the auspices of the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act 2000, and may conduct searches of a property using a search warrant. According to the BBC, more than 204,000 people in the UK were caught watching TV without a licence during the first 6 months of 2012. Licence fee evasion makes up around one-tenth of all cases prosecuted in magistrates' courts. According to the BBC's 2013-14 annual report, its total income was £5 billion, which can be broken down as follows. £3.726 billion in licence fees collected from householders. £1.023 billion from the BBC's commercial businesses. £244.6 million from government grants, of which £238.5 million is from the Foreign and Commonwealth Office for the BBC World Service. £72.1 million from other income, such as rental collections and royalties from overseas broadcasts of programming. 104. The viewer who pays his license fee, quite rightly expects the BBC to supply programs in accordance with its charter, which is an instrument passed by Parliament giving the BBC its rules for broadcasting. The problem with this contract between viewer and the supplier, the BBC, is that the BBC routinely violates its charter. Recourse. Viewers could consider a petition to Parliament, but this would be very unpopular with present government and would probably be included in a debate on whether to supply Mr. Squeaker with shoe lifts at public expense. A class action against the BBC would be expensive. A £5 billion TO company can afford devious lawyers. Sir Cliff Richard scored a memorable victory over the BBC when he proved collusion between the police and the BBC helicopter. Why not complain to the regulator? The Office of Communications Ofcom. The UK government approved regulatory and competition authority for the broadcasting, telecommunications and postal industries of the United Kingdom. There are too many anomalies in its past for this quango to be trusted, and it certainly could never threaten the mighty BBC. The CEO of Ofcom is of course an ex-civil servant. Ofcom's job is to regulate the broadcasting industry, and it exercises its authority with the same effect as King Canute and the Tide Tables. Expenditure. Ofcom has received criticism for incurring unnecessary costs as a result of extravagant Thames side offices and a top-heavy salary bill, for inflexibility in its regulation of commercial radio, and for poor service. In response to ongoing expenditure concerns, Ofcom made the following statement regarding the 2017-2018 budget. Ofcom has delivered 12 consecutive years of like-for-like real terms budget reductions, and we will continue to reduce spending wherever we can. Oh! How we laughed! Ofcom's Derrin Consulting controversy. In 2017, Ofcom's Advisory Committee for Wales awarded Derrin Consulting a contract to monitor the National Assembly for Wales and Welsh Government. It was subsequently reported that the contract had not been put out to tender and that Hugh Roberts and Nerys Evans held positions for both Derrin and Ofcom. The contract was terminated and Ofcom concluded that it had broken its own procurement rules. Did the committee resign en masse in shame and the members forfeit their pensions? Oh! How we laughed! BBC tax mystery. In 2018, HMRC found that the companies set up by various BBC personalities existed for tax evasion and called for the evaded tax to be paid. This was publicised with great glee by many newspapers, much to the chagrin of the personalities, and then disappeared from the headlines. Rumors exist that the BBC paid some of the back tax by making forward payments against short-term contracts, but this is of course a totally unfounded allegation. BBC adverts. The BBC International Channel and the domestic BBC channels use adverts between their programmes. Adverts on the domestic channels are for BBC programmes, but occupy a similar length of time to those on commercial channels. Emails and tweets. A further example of the BBC failure to respect its charter. BBC journalists and commentators use email and Twitter with the name BBC in their address, to make politically biased and one-sided emails and tweets about Brexit, President Trump, Brexit leavers, UKIP members. Employees of private companies making political or sarcastic comments from an address which includes the name of the company, would be dismissed on the spot. The minister. Successive ministers have failed to enforce the BBC's charter, and one wonders what cosy, brown envelope, pension payment, political award environment, supports this repeated failure. Could it be that the BBC somehow holds the minister in its claws with promises of future emoluments? Conclusion. The government's inaction in permitting the BBC to operate in flagrant breach of its charter, by allowing it to make politically biased and dishonest broadcasts on an almost hourly schedule, is on the one hand disgraceful, but on the other not unexpected, from a cabinet composed of the most ineffectual, grey, lackluster set of individuals, who bear an astonishing resemblance to a phlegm of slugs enjoying the last lettuce before Brexit. The people of the UK are being forced by law to pay for services from the BBC, which are clearly outside the terms of reference of its charter and which violate its own mission dash. That is the provision of impartial, high quality and distinctive output and services which inform, educate and entertain. Shock. Horror. How can this be? Is there a precedent for the government ignoring the wishes of the people? Copyright Pausanias 2019.